Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. If I seem a little happy, I might have had a couple mini two whiskeys. See, I can't even talk. But anyway, joining me always, my co-host Donnie Hoover. Donnie, how's it going, man?
Oh man, it's been an up and down day. I'm excited and I'm bummed out, both. And so it's Halloween season, and we put up decorations out in our yard with my daughter, so that got me pumped up. Went to a haunted house and going to go to another one here in a couple weeks, and so that's got me pumped up. And then I bought that Friday the 13th edition where they made everything 4K and remastered it, and you get posters and lithographs and all that. It was like 150 some bucks or something like that. Terry bought it for me, and I got the email saying UPS will have it at my doorstep today. So I was pumped, and then I checked my email like an hour ago, and they rescheduled it for tomorrow. So now I was like, son of a. So, but it should be here tomorrow, and I'm gonna be all in on that one. So you know how I am about Jason. That's my guy.
So what you're saying is, if you had gotten that today, there we wouldn't be recording tonight.
Well, we might be recording. You just might hear it in the background or something.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't introduce our guest. He's been on the show with us way back in the early days of Wrestle Horror. I am, of course, talking about Maximus Bryant. Max, how are you, man?
I'm great, Meat Hook. It's good to see you again. And Donnie, I think it's been too long, brother.
For sure.
Been too long since I've seen you guys, but I think I don't remember the exact date of the last time we talked, if it was pre-COVID or post-COVID, but you guys have been rolling along with your episodes and interviewing great people, so congratulations on everything that you guys have done here.
Oh, thank you much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Congratulations to you. I say we've been keeping up with you as well, and seeing you got like a lot of projects on the burners that you're doing and stuff. It's real interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, when COVID hit and I was at home, I started painting. I mean, you know, you're picking up weird hobbies and just doing things. And then, you know, your mind gets to wandering. And I think people who just like doing useful things try to find a way to be useful. And I shouldn't have said useful, because not everything I do is useful. I just do it. Just do it.
Hey, if it makes you happy, it's useful.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think our last conversation was pre-COVID, because I don't remember us having any COVID talk. And
it was.
Yeah, so interestingly, you've taken that ball and ran with it, and have come up with your own set of videos in the Midwest and Ohio region, talking about which haunts are open, which haunts are not, and just keeping everybody up to date and informed in this pandemic. And I've watched a lot of your videos, and they're very informative, and I'm digging them.
I really appreciate that the idea for that came about from, I had this idea last year where I thought the Ohio Haunters Association needs to be useful and you know, something that is useful to the haunted community, you know, that brings benefit to the haunted community, you know. So my idea was to do something similar to what Louisville Halloween was doing, which was going and visiting some haunts, maybe doing like a interview with the owners, kind of helping to spread the word about haunts in Ohio. That was the idea. There were several haunts that were ready to do it and were on board with it. And then when COVID hit, I think that sword just fell apart. You know, I didn't want to keep traveling everywhere and then exposing my parents in that sense, but because I wouldn't want to do the interview with masks on. But so that just kind of got canned. And then I thought, well, how can the Ohio Haunter Association support the haunt community and not do it that way? Well, then Jason and I talked a bit, and I told him that I thought maybe we can do videos that just kind of goes, picks an area of Ohio, lists them off, tell who's running, and Do it that way. And the format changed many different times, but I basically filmed it all. I sent it to a video editor, and I was really happy with the results, how it came back. You know, it took a quite a bit of time to go onto each haunt's website, the ones I knew of at least. And some of them had already posted when they were opening, some hadn't. I was bothering some haunt pages like, hey, you opening this year? No, yes, what? And all the while trying to keep Scare Factor and informed as well, because they changed their format to include if the haunt is open or not this year on their website. So as I'm going through, I'm telling them like, hey, these guys are open, these guys are not. And it took a while, and the filming took a bit too, and the editing, but I was really happy with the way it came out. Again, the goal was just to try to say, hey, you guys in the Dayton to Toledo area, check this out. Here's the haunts. Go look at their websites. Figure out if this is a place you want to visit this year.
Yeah, well, that definitely answered one of my questions. You said you sent the video stuff out to be edited. And because I remember telling myself when I was watching it, I was like, man, this thing is friggin' nice looking. I said, I'm about to hire Max to do some new Ohio wrestling footage.
I'm not the one. I'm really not the one. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I haven't told anybody this yet. The guy was from Fiverr.
Yeah.
Yes. I've used Fiverr before.
Yeah. And I mean, and the guy doesn't even like, he was from Pakistan too. And I don't think he has a concept of what a haunted house was. So, I actually had to explain a lot of things to him, but he just took it, took all my instructions and just ran with it. And, I mean, it was a little bit weird with the time difference, but he was very good about responding, and did fantastic. And I was very happy with the way it came out, because, you know, with going through Fiverr, it means it happens the way I want it to happen.
Absolutely.
And as I was getting demos sent, I was checking with Jason and being like, hey, is this acceptable? And he seemed on board with it. So. I think it worked out pretty well as far as how it all came together. But no, I am definitely not a video editor myself. The video I just posted of Backwoods Oddities, that was from a little app on the phone, because I filmed the thing on a phone and I just kind of pieced it together. But that was, you know, low level type stuff. So you know, shout out to Nexlow Graphics for editing those videos, talking about Ohio haunts and what we're opening. I may do it again next year, but I'm wondering how to change it up and maybe make it, maybe add a little bit of the element, maybe like go visit a few haunts, maybe get a couple interviews in and release those separate from a long list of haunts that are or are not opening.
Well, I want to chime in here, and I want to throw out another thing about Fiverr, because it's an awesome service.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the mall logo.
Yeah.
The lion head was done on Fiverr.
Really?
Yes.
See, I just saw the mall logo at Backwoods Oddities, because there's a banner there.
Yes.
So I saw it. That's from Fiverr, huh?
Yeah. The circle, now the circle part of it was added actually by one of the actors, Matt Godfrey.
Mm.
But the lion head itself was done through Fiverr.
It's very good looking too. So I think that was a good hire. I mean, a commission to do that.
It was phenomenal. The artist was in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And English was so-so, but we were able to communicate. And it didn't take him any time at all, really, to come up with what I wanted.
No, I think, you know, the services went well. And if you notice the background music in the videos that I did, that was also a Fiverr music artist guy. Okay. I found Fiverr. There's this bassist on YouTube called Davey504, because I play the bass too. And he has gone on Fiverr several times and just challenged bassists to do things. And that's how I found the website. And I mean, logos, videos, music. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff on there. And I've been taking advantage of it.
There you go. And that just kind of ties into the interview we did last week with Joseph Boatkin, Pongo Joe. Yeah, build your haunt character, you know, film whatever you need to film. You don't have to be an editor. Film what you need to film and then go Fiverr or some other service and send it off and have them edit it for you.
Speaking of Pongo, he sent me these not too long ago.
Oh, nice.
And one last thing for Fiverr, we'll be expecting a sponsorship check in the mail. Thank you.
That's right.
You should. Yeah, it's been a very just trying to come up with projects and do something and be productive in some way. And I just, my hope is that that it leads to something productive for the Ohio Haunts. Actually, it did. Philip Hernandez from the Haunted Attractions Network contacted me, and he said, "Hey, I really like your videos." Not realizing I didn't do the editing, and I told him that. And then he said, "Well, what if I had you on weekly to give an update on Ohio Haunts?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." So we filmed 2 10-minute segments where I basically give an update on like what haunts are opening this coming weekend, some news things have come up, like this, like Dent Schoolhouse sold out this last weekend, Chippewa Lake Slaughterhouse sold out. Backwoods Oddies just had their open weekend and they had a great reception. So I've put it to the Ohio Haunters Association group. I said, "Hey, if you have a news update, you know, send it my way and I can, you know, put it on the, this little 10-minute segment." Some haunts have taken advantage of it. And even Backwoods Oddies, they had me, when I went and visited, they had me film through the entire haunt, which to me felt wrong. You know what I mean?
Like, giving the secrets away.
So you gotta understand Alan like I do.
Yeah.
Alan's all about presentation. And he's not ashamed. He's not afraid for people to see the video because, you know, my opinion is if you walk through a haunt and you shoot the whole thing, it's not the same thing as going through it. I mean, even if somebody else watches the video, their experience is going to be different.
Yeah. That's very true. I would definitely say that, you know, being there, smelling the threatening behavior that some of the actors showed, definitely. But Alan is just a generous guy. I don't know how else to describe him except generosity. I mean, he was so excited that I was visiting. I mean, I'm just an actor at a haunt, you know, and he's like, "Oh, you're here. Make sure you film." And I'm like, okay. And then I pieced together a video and I showed it to him. He seemed excited about it. The Haunted Attractions Network is going to show the video as well. You know, Waverly, Ohio, you know, is not one of those big cities that anybody.
No, it's not. And he's off the beaten path.
Right. And that was the whole point of this last segment, which was for me to say, "Hey, there's all these haunts in rural Ohio and actually fantastic ones." I loved it. Like when you pull up to his place, you know, you see the house. So you realize it's in the guy's backyard. And so you're kind of like, okay, what all could possibly be back there? But it's long. It took a while to get through it. And all these scenes and, you know, whether it's UV lights or dolls or, you know, whatever else he might have, but they were, I thought it was really pretty and how he, and it's also very, I think, a very intelligent layout to how they kind of like lead you back to certain areas. Like you end up back where you start in a way and go in a different path. But I very much enjoyed my time there. And, I it's just kind of so happy to see like a guy so passionate about his haunt out there in that area to say, "Hey, look, it's in my backyard. I can work on it all year and public come forth and see it." And he's not afraid to cross promote. He had the Haunted Hydro banners up there. I mean, that's a 3.5-hour away haunt, but he put it up.
We'll drive it.
Yeah. And he had mall banners up too. And, you know, because there were some mall actors there as well.
Yes,
and,
there were.
I got to see them do their magic on the queue line or as people were coming up and getting their tickets. So that was really great to see as well, because I don't think I've gotten to do that yet.
Well, you know, one thing that I love about Alan is I've been working with Alan for 10 years now.
Wow.
Back in 2010, I trained his actors. He contracted me. I came out to train his daughter, Kim, the general manager. Mm-hmm. I was telling Donnie this earlier. If not Donnie, it was somebody else, but we'll just go with that. I sent a picture of me and Kim 10 years ago from the first training session. And I was very adamant about my unknown character persona at the time. So my face is covered in the picture.
Oh, yeah.
I had my red hood with the black face. And mm-hmm. But I had a six-year-old Kim next to me in that picture. And he absolutely loved it when I sent it to him. I've watched them, Max. I've watched them grow. I watched what I saw the first time I came out. And I watched what I saw last year when I was out, and I'm looking forward to see what I come out this year.
I think it's a fantastic show. And even now, you know, she's, you know, 15, 16 years old and mm-hmm. bossing around adult yeah. men. Yeah. But I mean, she's not like that, but she's leading them.
Yeah. She's leading yeah. them. Absolutely.
And she's doing it well, and she's created a fantastic system there too. I think they have like a buddy system going on to mm-hmm. where most scenes have like two actors, and so that they can watch each other. So it's an emphasis on safety. Mm-hmm. It's fun because you can create stuff with the other actor and set up distractions. And they did, they got me. Right. I was scared, and they, you know, it's and just not just that, but also in the COVID era, you know, they offered incentives like, you know, money off your ticket if you're wearing your mask. Otherwise, I think you have to get a mask and you pay full price and all that kind of stuff. And they marked everybody off. They had everybody separated. All the actors in the video either were wearing a mask or they were behind a sheet of plastic. So, you know, I think that they are acting very professionally in this time as well. And, you know, and I have to admit, I've visited some haunts that aren't taking the COVID stuff, you know, seriously. And, but they, I just love the show. I was so happy I got to see it. I'm so glad I took a weekend. Well, it was just the Friday. What was supposed to happen was a New Orleans couple was supposed to come up, and I was supposed to show them a bunch of haunts in Ohio this year, but we canceled for COVID. But I still asked for that Friday off so that I could visit some sure. places I don't get to see normally. And so I visited them. I visited Terror in the Trees, and I visited Horror at Dogwood Pass. And all were, you know, great shows to see. It's just that the curse of being, I guess, an actor is not really getting to visit all the haunts you want to.
It is. It has always been that way because it's hard to get time off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As Pumpkin Smasher should know.
Oh, he's having a year this year, I think. Is he? Oh yeah, he's back out front. Last year he was in the Fall Festival, so there was a little bit less room to play around in. But this year he's out front again, like he was 2 years ago, running around. He started initiating people to follow the path of the Pumpkin Smasher. Like, some people want a hammer just like his. And I said, no. Well, you know, you're not ready. First, you can smash squashes with a meat hammer. You can start there. And then you can move to green pumpkins with a baseball bat. And then you can make your way to pumpkin smashing level. So... It's been an interesting year so far, I think, as an actor, as far as what I've seen. People have been, I think, getting antsy at home, right. And so they are coming out, definitely coming out. We have sold out every Friday and Saturday so far that we've been open. We're operating to where they're only going to take 50% of the capacity that they normally would. And so, you know, they've sold out. People have come out. We're separating them in the line, but we still have to entertain them. But, you know, it's caused longer waits for people. Though I think that our throughput is fairly decent, mm-hmm. it's still a challenge, and we're still trying to interact. But I tell you what, the normal behaviors of the customers, which is like, you know, they want to touch the weapon, and they want to take photos, and they want selfies, and they want group photos, and the selfies in social distancing is just, I don't think it's possible because
it
like
isn't.
it's dark. And so even if they do like the screen flash, it shows them, but me who's standing behind them, right. it doesn't catch the character at all. Right. The only thing that seems to work well is the group photos where somebody's taken the photo for them.
Right.
But there has been some adjustments like Charlie the Janitor and Zobo the Clown and myself. We're not snaking through the queue line like we used to. We're right. sticking to the outsides. We're trying, but, you know, people are coming up, be like, can we get a photo? And then they're automatically like got their arm around me and I have to be like, distance. And I'm trying. It's not easy there.
Right.
So I haven't looked at the schedule for this year, but you guys aren't doing Thursdays and Sundays this year?
We are.
Oh, okay.
Now that we're in October, we're doing Thursdays through Sundays. Okay. So, you know, if you, anybody who wants to come visit the Dent Schoolhouse, I strongly suggest you aim for a Thursday or a Sunday. Fridays and Saturdays are selling out. So even if you get a ticket, there's a line.
Right.
So I strongly suggest Thursdays and Sundays if you can. We are open then 7:30 to 10. We are also going to do a weekend in November. It's a lights out edition. In the past, we offered a touch option. This year, we're not doing any kind of touching.
Nope.
And then, you know, back to, you know, maybe Donnie might like this. We're doing a Friday the 13th edition on November 13th.
I may have to. That might be my trip. I was wanting to come out and see you guys. That might be.
Yeah. We're only going to do the Friday. We're not going to do Saturday. I mean, because
I got vacation time.
Well, you know, Saturday is not Friday the 13th, obviously. So,
right.
Be great to perform for you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was definitely wanting to make it out there this year. And then, speaking of Backwood Odysseys, me and Jim just talked today, and I think we're going to try to match up our schedules and go to that one together.
Yep.
And check out them. So that'll be fun, but. Yeah, it sounds like, though, if I want to go to Dent, I'm going to have to get my tickets online like a week or two in advance. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I would, if you're planning that, I would definitely suggest doing that because, like, the first weekend, we sold out during the show. This last weekend, we sold out before the show.
Right.
So it seems to be building. You know, normally we build to that attendance size, you know, usually about second week in October. That's when that kind of intense tide starts coming. They're coming out, and haunts across Ohio are reporting, you know, high numbers, record-breaking opening weekends. You know, even a haunt that I just found out about this year, Fearfield out in St. Clairsville, those guys, I mean, he sold out last weekend. And, you know, this is it's not a very heavy populated area, that St. Clairsville, but I mean, he's getting great attendance. And I really am impressed with his COVID policies too, because he has you wait in your car until it's time for you to come. And then the security guard will lead you into your area. And then you kind of are in a cubby until you go. I think he's trying really hard. And so, yeah, and it's amazing to see all these haunts that are adjusting to this time, and you know, the ingenuity that's happening, that's coming with it, and they're trying to figure things out. Terror Town has sort of, like, out in Williamsburg, Ohio, they've tried to, you know, figure out their virtual queue,
right.
And figure out how to do it to where, you know, people are coming and are able to get through the haunt, and they're trying to do it safely. And they've even hired actors to walk around and remind people to put their masks up. So, you know, there's a lot that haunts have had to do in consideration.
Guessing since we started, it's just really thrown everything, the haunt industry, the horror industry, we're social animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're asked to be not social. So it's just thrown everything upside down and sideways. But it sounds like the haunt industry, because people are craving something, is benefiting this year. Whereas I thought, now, I mean, I feel sorry for the haunts that couldn't open this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the haunts that opened this year they're going to survive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they will, as far as just based on the numbers that, you know, people have been seeing.
Sure.
And I think, you know, any haunt that decided not to open, I believe in their reasons not to do it. I believe mm-hmm. that, you know, if we, you know, when we truly believe safety is number one, absolutely. You ought not do it if you, and, you know, some even did it and said, okay, even if we wanted to be completely safe, we just don't feel right delivering a lesser show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get that. You know, you put a lot of pride behind this name that you create and put out into the community. And, you know, if it's just not, you know, like, let's say, for example, the Nightmare Dungeon. That's not a real haunt. It may be a real haunt, but I'm just saying the name. The Nightmare Dungeon. If it's not what you would call the Nightmare Dungeon and you don't want to put it out,
right.
They don't put it out. And I think that's perfectly acceptable. But I do think that it does cause a little bit of a weird thing for us actors, because typically after a Saturday, we would gather in the meeting room, we'd have a meal, we would, you know, share stories about the night. We're not doing that. We're making it to where, like, hey, okay, once you're done, you need to get your costume to laundry and, you know, go, you know, right. That's how it needs to be. And so as far as the social aspect, as you talked about, I think it's weird for the actors for sure. But, you know, it's weird for the whole country as a whole. You know, people miss their concerts. They miss a lot of things. Some things are opening up. But, you know, I think when the haunted attractions opened, people were definitely ready to go and do it. And here they are.
Yeah, I kind of thought. I mean, I've said it a couple times to a couple different people that I think that the haunts that do stay open are going to have record numbers, just for the fact that people's been cooped up since March and they're, you know, they just want something to do. They want to get out and do something that's normal to them. So I kind of assumed that it was going to be a busy season. And you, like you said, you've been out to a few haunts already this season and visited. Have you seen most of the haunts? Have they been pretty good about separating lines, or has there been conga lines that have still formed and all this and that, or what have you seen out
there? Yeah, I would say that haunts that are trying to follow COVID guidelines are doing a good job of it. There are a few haunts that are not trying, and I've seen them. And this is what causes a moral dilemma for myself, which is, you know, and I'm not necessarily going to try to figure it out tonight, but it's like, okay, this haunt didn't do it. You know, this haunt did not, follow the COVID guidelines. They didn't, they weren't spacing people out. Matter of fact, one of them, the lines got so long that they just sent about 100 to 150 of us in one time. And the actors, I'm not kidding you, stood and pointed. Like, as we were going through the scenes, like, they it's almost like they were told not to act on us. And I didn't get it. I really didn't understand it. We were very, and it's a very long haunt too. That's the other part. This is a long haunt, and we were going through, and the actors were just not trying. And, you know, I literally walked up to one. I said, are you going to do something? And he just kind of does like the creepy head tilt thing, which I hate by itself, but, and we just went on. And, I think by the, we got into a maze. And we actually went out the wrong exit on the maze. And somebody told us we went out the wrong exit. And we said, we don't care. We're just going on. I mean, I really don't want to sound like a prude or anything like that, but it was a frustrating experience. The only benefit of the doubt that I could offer this haunt was that they just were not ready for the numbers that came out. And I would believe the perception of many haunt owners, I think, was that they weren't going to have a good attendance this year. Hence why I made the videos I made, because I didn't think they were going to. I thought people were going to, you know, stay home. Maybe I'm just ignorant to the general population. I can admit that I don't, my perception isn't always correct, but you know, the whole reason behind doing that video series was to say, hey, here's these guys taking the risk. They are opening. Check them out. Learn about them. Go visit. I'm in a way, I'm not quite sure it was necessary. they're getting an attendance, and this haunt had a very big attendance. So now there are haunts that are doing doing fantastic with it. You know, like I said, Fearfield did the car thing. Darkview does like an opening sequence where they have four groups, but you're in four separate corners of a tent, like a big tent. And I never encountered anybody to where there was no conga line that formed at Darkview. And it's a beautiful trail. It's a long trail too, and it's well lit. They did fantastic. And I actually wrote down all the haunts I visited. And, you know, like Terror in the Trees, when I visited Steve, he changed his show. You know, he took a lot of those hanging things. Like there would have been a lot of things that I would have walked through, like hanging rope and stuff like that. Right. Those are off to the side. And he, you know, to him, that is completely necessary to follow COVID guidelines. And he had his actors all behind either cages or something like that and kept them separate from the guests. I think, you know, I enjoyed it a lot. I think he may wish things were different, but, you know, we all do. But I think it's still a fantastic show. So I have to admit, I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag. As far as, you know, there are haunts that are doing very well with it, and there are some that just aren't. There was one haunt who told me they're so far out in the sticks, they don't need to. So I was like, so I don't know. And I know a lot of people are concerned. Like they will say that a few will ruin it for many. Right. I don't know. I mean, we're getting into our second weekend in October. I feel like if we were going to get shut down, it was going to happen already because haunts have been open since September 4th.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a big, I don't know this year. And but I've been happy that the Dent Schoolhouse opened later than it normally does. Cause that's what allowed me and many of my friends to go visit other places and to see what's out there. And to really see what's going on with the haunt industry or at least in Ohio, but we traveled into Kentucky as well. I saw a couple places. Well, actually, no, it's not Kentucky. Malice Manor's in the Indiana side of Louisville, actually. Mm-hmm. that was a great show too. And, you know, everybody was in a mask and it was fun. So it's been, it's mixed, but what I've noticed is that I think there's a pretty good correlation between a haunt and the plan that they post on their website and what you see when you go visit. You know, if a haunt is willing to put forth the effort to describe all this, they have it on their website, and I think it's pretty followed pretty well as far as what I've seen in person, but there are haunts that just don't have a thing on their website about it, not a thing. So that's why even in the videos I did, I said, guys, I make no guarantees as far as what each haunt is doing as far as COVID guidelines go, but go do your research, you know. Mm-hmm. And luckily now at this point, this late in the season, people have been posting reviews. And many have been posting reviews about whether or not the haunt in question is following COVID guidelines or not. So I think there's plenty out there for you to inform yourself if this is something that you really want to take into consideration before you visit an attraction.
Very cool.
And, let me get the cricket sound effect.
So what's for some of the haunts that you've been through already, what has been some of the best scenes or scares that you've witnessed so far this year?
Okay. Let's see here. So, when I visited Malice Manor, I don't know what kind of training this haunt has done for its actors, but whenever I interact with a haunt character, I'm not a jerk, but they'll say something. Sometimes I'll respond. Not one of those actors let me leave a room with the last word. Like they had a retort and a comeback for like everything. I thought it was fantastic. And they also got me from above. They had some floor stuff going on, and that got me pretty good. the Backwoods Oddities, there were these two girls, and they're in an asylum, and they trap me. They close a cage and they trap me. And as they're talking, all of a sudden it just goes pitch black. Air cannon gets me. I curse as a response, and they were just right. They're like, oh, was that colorful language? It was colorful language. What color was it? It was a green. No, it was blue. That was colorful language though. I just thought that was hilarious. Like that they great. Just kind of had that kind of a retort ready. Darkview. Now the thing about Darkview was that it's a trail, you know, and it goes up and down and all that kind of stuff. This guy with a chainsaw runs at me, but he's like 15 feet away and runs at me to the 6 foot mark. I didn't see him coming though. He got me pretty good. Chainsaws. I mean, they're one of those things I think typically every haunt has, and you know, but this guy, he wasn't at the end or anything. He just was boom. There he was. He got me pretty good. And I think Darkview actually sets up distraction scares very well, because there's this like giant statue thing, and I'm like staring at it, and it turns out one of the children is an actor that looked to me like a prop, and he just boom, all of a sudden he comes to life. I was like, he's alive.
Nice.
I actually trained them a few years back too.
Oh yeah, Darkview.
Yeah.
Well, they did fantastic.
Yeah, Buster and Dan, those guys are great. Mm-hmm. I like them.
Oh, they were a lot of fun, I think. The new Horror House, which I think is on the Indiana side of Cincinnati, I think it's tied to Horror Hike. Those guys, there was this kid. He was in a black skin suit, and he's just crawling everywhere and like all these weird movements and coming at you and going away. I haven't seen anybody show that kind of like diversity of movement, I guess I'll call it. I have one of those things. When I visited Mohican Haunted Schoolhouse not too long ago, they had a floor crawler girl. That girl got me. And so if somebody's crawling at me, I'm like, oh no, because you know, I've gone through defensive tactics training. I've gone through martial arts. I've done wrestling. I'm ready for a person that's coming at me like so, you know. But if my defensive techniques don't cover a person crawling on the floor coming at you.
Right. So, they don't teach that.
No, they don't teach that. So I wasn't prepared. But so at Horror House, it seemed like they did pretty good there. I usually get pretty got at with distraction scares, and Terror in the Trees got me pretty good too. Horror at Dogwood Pass had this like really long black hallway, and I go, and it's actually really, really long. Like you kind of like snake back and forth several times, and you're like, Jesus, this is going on forever. Then all of a sudden out of nowhere, a devil comes at you from above. And that got me pretty good, because there came a point when I'm just looking for the exit. And so I get away from this idea that anybody's going to jump out, because it's been a few minutes at this point, but they timed it so well at that point. So, you know, there's been some fantastic things to see here and there. The Hammer Brothers Haunted Circus has this like steeple building in their trail. And I think that's designed almost purposely this way, to where you're walking through the cornfield and you see the steeple, and you're kind of looking at it as it's getting closer. And you're waiting to see if something's coming from over there, but they're actually behind you. Nice. and they get you. And oh, I didn't mention that about Fear Field. One of their guys, I don't know how he did it. He all of a sudden he's behind me. I seriously don't know where he came from, because like the way it's built is that I see most of it at any given time, and I'm going up a hill a bit to go by the river. So there's river on one side, and I just came from everything on the other side. So I seriously don't know where this guy came from, but all of a sudden he's behind me. So sneaky, sneaky. Mm, nice. So, I mean, like, you know, fear for me comes from when I think somebody is seriously like, I'm in danger to a degree. Like, and this guy could have, you know, he had the drop on me, and I don't know how he did it, but it was fantastic. He did great.
Nice. Sounds like it's a pretty healthy haunt season out there. Not no puns or nothing, but so if people want to get out there and have fun, go out there, enjoy the haunts, take your mask, be safe, and yeah. So I'm excited to hear it. I was dreading what kind of news we would hear from certain places about nothing happening this year, but it sounds like things are going well.
Well, things are happening. I mean, I guess it depends on which area you pay attention to. You know, the national news would, you know, paint a certain image, and I think everybody has their opinions about this season as far as COVID goes. But, you know, if you want to visit, they're open, and they're putting on, they put a lot of effort into these shows. And this year I got to know Fred over at Hell's Dungeon in Dayton. He's kind of kept me updated about things like the permits, health department, fire, building inspectors, everything. And he's opening. It's a brand new haunt. And he opened this year. I don't know. I don't know if I know any other haunts that have opened that are brand new except drive-through haunts. I've heard of several new drive-through haunts that have opened.
Right.
But I'm not aware of any like brand new traditional type haunts. And, you know, he opened at this time of year. He just had his opening weekend. He was so happy with the turnout that he had. But I know I've been kept updated on how things have gone time to hear and what this man has been through to get open. And he actually did it. And, you know, the pride he must feel in this moment, I think, is fantastic. So, you know, I feel like, hey, this man, I saw what it looked like a month and a half ago, and I saw what it looks like now. It looks amazing. And I encourage everybody to go visit, you know, that haunt or any haunt, because, you know, these are pieces of art, in my opinion, and they take so much time to prepare. That's why, you know, we do stuff in January, you know, going to conventions and such, because of the amount of time and effort these things take.
Oh, yeah. I don't think people realize how much work actually goes into these things.
No, they don't. They think that we just open up on the middle of September and run until November.
Yeah.
It was that easy.
Yeah. In a way, I do too. But, you know, it's absolutely beautiful. And I've really been happy to see what I've been able to see. And I've really enjoyed making connections this year in the Ohio haunts. And I feel like I'm building my circle a little bit and getting to know more, because I have no big goals in the industry except to just learn about it and even help promote it if I can. They're pieces of art.
I feel the same way. I consider myself the rookie of the group, and I try to learn something every day if I can.
And there is a lot, and it's different if it's a trail, if it's a house or whatnot, but you know, it's been an amazing season so far, but now I'm getting into the weekends that are going to be longer. So probably in about 4 weeks, I'm going to want Halloween over, and then I'm going to miss it again by the time Christmas is over. So that's just how it goes.
Sometimes with me, it wasn't even that long. It's like, you know, you get done, and by Thanksgiving, it's like, I want to go scare somebody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The first one. So there's this thing I do. Jim, you might remember the bus that's out front, and how the queue line, the bus that's like next to that projector screen, and the queue line's like right there.
Yeah.
I like to run around the bus and charge at the crowd with my hammer. And, you know, so, you know, I'm 315 pounds. So, you know, I'm not small. I'm fat. And I'm moving pretty quickly, and I'm just coming at them with the hammer and, you know, making a swing at them. And they usually have it has a great reaction. Typically people are either falling over or screaming or something like that. The first one I did this season, that just like carried me the rest of the night, because like, that scream that I just caused, it really carried me through the rest of the night, because I'm never conditioned for the first night of the season ever. I drink water. I'm drinking, but that first scream is just like,
now it's time to go.
it's like adrenaline quadrupled. I mean, it's just, you know, they get that first scream, and all of a sudden, all you want to do is make people scream.
Yeah, I remember when I was in a scene, like people, you know, if I got a really good scare, that feeling would just carry with me through the next several groups, and you know, by the time that it would end, hopefully, you know, I got them again with another group, and it is, I guess adrenaline. Yeah, you could definitely call it that because it's a fantastic feeling, and that's why when I think about these projects I'm coming up with, I keep thinking like, you know what? It would just be simple if I just wouldn't act. I could just go see everybody because I want to, but I can't imagine not acting. I really couldn't. And if I were to take less days to work, I may not have the character I want because it's not my character. It's Dense,
Right,
and
that's
so,
character.
and if I'm not there enough to act as him, then they give him to someone else,
Right.
or you know, don't have him at all. So, I just couldn't not act a season. I'm not there yet. Maybe one day, but I'm not there now.
Well, let me say this. How old are you now?
I'm 31.
You got plenty of time. This is going to be the first year I have not acted in some way, shape, or form, and I don't know how long, and I'm 55. And I am accepting it this year. It might start to itch a little bit as I get closer. I'm not going to deny that. And that doesn't mean to say I'm not going to, you've seen the way my yard display is going. It doesn't mean to say I might throw on a costume one night and make sure a couple of kids know not to fuck with
They don't all need to get candy, you know.
Right? Exactly.
It's
But
okay. It's okay if a few of them miss.
you know, I am actually kind of looking forward to not doing anything and visiting a couple of haunts this year. That's all I want to do this year, really. And I think I deserve it. Does that mean that that's going to be my plan going beyond this? I don't know yet. You know, I'll see what happens. I'm still signed on as a senior consultant for Mole, so that pretty much says I can go act whenever I want with them.
Well, I mean, that's one thing about this year I think that has taught us is that we just don't know what will or will not happen with things. I mean, you know, my convention was canceled and I didn't see that happening, and we don't know what this next year will look like with the convention, but and I didn't know that this season would look like it did. But whatever presents itself, you know, hopefully you find what feels right and you follow it, and you know, maybe visiting haunts inspire something brand new. I don't know. You've created a lot of things in your career, so I think, you know, who knows what happens.
You know, it's not about me. It's just my love of the business. And like I said, even though I've taken a step back, I'm still involved. I mean, I do wrestle horror. I do the big scary show. You know, people call me every once in a while for questions. I'm even open to training somebody, but that's been tough this year for all the trainers because of the restrictions. So I didn't expect that to happen at all, but, one of my highlights every year is going to see what Backwoods Oddities has done next.
I wish I knew what it looked like previously, but
But I
just
do.
because, well, you do, right? So if I ever get to visit again and I get to see what they change, I'm excited for it. I just, you know, it was just fun. I had a good time there, and you know, I selfishly attempted to see three haunts that night, and I did it. And I even did it after I went through Backwoods Oddities. You know, I had a, you know, a long talk with Kim, and it was, you know, she shared a lot of stuff, and while at the same time dealing with this and that popped up, and it's a lot of fun. I think everybody that went there had a good time, and even like with Hell's Dungeon, I in Dayton, I wonder, you know, what he's going to take from this year and what is he going to turn it into next year. It's very interesting to see. So, you know, in a way, I feel like visiting all these haunts may have created an issue for me in a way because I want to see what happens next year. But you know, next year I may not be so lucky to have the availability to go because Dent, I think, runs a longer season than a lot of haunts, but mm-hmm. you know, it's different, but I've really enjoyed it. And I, you know, it's, yeah, I've been really appreciative of the reception that people have given me for some of my efforts. And you know, like Alan, who is, I have to think, still extremely generous guy.
Well, here's a little advice. I don't know if it still applies at that, but when I worked there, if you put in for a day off before you start, then you might not lose your character.
Yeah, and that's what happened this last Friday. It was just a day. Right. So I originally wanted it to be a weekend, but as soon as that New Orleans couple didn't come up, it turned into, well, okay, I'll work Saturday because it's the busiest day.
Right.
But I would like to, I'd still want Friday, and I took advantage of it. So, you know, maybe that's what I have to do, is just one day. And it benefits me too, because I've seen some things, you know, like Ronald, his character was wielding around a hammer.
Right. At Backwoods.
You know, I was seeing some of the things he did, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to steal what he did, but it's going to influence me anyway. So
inspiration, man.
It's inspiration. Yeah. You know, it's great to watch other actors and see their interactions. And I love creativity. And when I've seen creativity and what people have done and great distraction scares that they set up, it's just inspiring. And actors are the ones that I think bring these beautiful pieces of art to life and mm-hmm. really make it and turn it into their world.
Did you by chance see Mopsy Topsy when you were at Backwoods?
If I did, I didn't know it was them. It's not, they didn't shout their name.
Okay. She's a clown, obviously, okay. By the name. And the first year I trained them, I gave them a challenge. And that challenge was, whoever could scare me when I walked through the haunt, I would give a $50 Visa gift card to. Mm-hmm. And I'm notoriously very hard to scare. I mean, I don't even jump. I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
So I get through. I'm almost done with this haunt. And she got me. She popped up into a cage, like a, you know, a Barker cage, a ticket booth cage. Mm-hmm. She popped up and I jumped and I went, oh shit.
I don't think I ran into that. I did get got by some clowns. Mm-hmm. They were playing some kind of like Ring of Rosie game, and then they saw me and then went away. And I was like, well, where did they go? And then one stuck around and was threatening to cut me. And she kept my attention for a while. And then the other was waiting for me with an air cannon, or like one of those boo blaster type things. Right. So they worked pretty well together. Mopsy Topsy, I don't remember running into. I did run into Brother Pyro, okay. Which I really enjoyed that. Yeah. That was pretty cool. It's just, yeah, that was... That's a lot of fun I guess I'm a little jealous of them too. You know, the guy can walk into his haunt at any point he wants, and there's something about that, you know, like mm-hmm. my haunt doesn't exist. Like my home haunt doesn't right. exist until everything's put out. And you know, it's not like everything is just sitting out in his either, but I mean, but it's there,
right.
You know? So I'm jealous of him.
You know, I was jealous of it too, you know, and I admire him for all the work he's done, and he's innovative, and he's creative. And on top of that, you know, he looks at a design and builds it himself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Some of the mechanics in his haunt make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I look back on these the video I recorded, there's a bit of detail that I miss each time. Like the UV clown girls, when they were playing the Ring Around the Rosie game, there was a swirly thing happening that I didn't notice the first time. But when you watch this video back, it's like, oh, yeah, that was going on, and that was going on, and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I'm more appreciative that I have that film to look back on, but there's a lot going on there. And, you know, maybe I should have tried to go through twice because.
Yeah, I've kind of found that with a lot of haunts. It's kind of like a movie, you know, like you watch a movie and then when you go back and watch it again, you'll pick up something that you missed. Mm-hmm. And then I think the haunts are the same way. Like you're just going through and your senses are just on overdrive that there's just things you just plain out, you know, flat out miss. And then if you see a video of it or if you go through a second time and you're telling yourself like that wasn't there last time. Like, well, you know, it was just last week. So yeah, it was there. It's like you just missed it.
Right. It does kind of remind me of what my buddy Nate tells me sometimes, which is like, we're putting in all these efforts into these scenes, but they're only going to walk past it for a couple seconds and they're not even going to notice.
Yeah. But you know, if I can just back up for a second and then we can move on. As far as Backwoods Oddities goes, I have told every single actor in Maul to go over there and at least watch the show. And I will tell any haunter in this industry to go enjoy the show because, and I'll tell you why, it's because these are people that do it purely for the joy and thrill of scaring people. Not a one of them does it for money. Mm-hmm. And I've seen what they've done has rivaled some of the pro haunts I've been into.
Oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And they benefit the Southern Ohio survivors.
Exactly.
You know, when you're talking about that, you know, they're not doing it for the money. They're giving it away.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for adding that, Max. It was on the tip of my head there and it just kind of went whoop.
that's the one I remember. I do know that they have more, but that's the one that I because it's like SOS. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
he's donated to different charities over the years. But you know, he spends a lot of his hard earned money every year on that. Mm. And you know, all of his actors, they come and they help. He's got such a loyal following of actors that, I mean, rivals big haunts. Mm-hmm. You know, these people just want to come out and scare you. That's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And what they've got is kind of, you know, in the pro haunt, you've got the rules, you've got the regulations, and Alan has his own rules and regulations, but they're a little more lax because it's his, mm-hmm. You know? So that opportunity to play around some more is a lot of fun sometimes because I've done it because I've acted at Alan's Haunt several times, mm-hmm. Most recently last year.
Must've been a blast. Cause I mean, like the one thing that since you haven't visited them yet this year, I'm going to withhold it from you. But maybe after you visit, I'm going to send that video to you after you visit.
Fair enough.
But the one thing I do remember from it is that these guys are having fun.
Yeah.
They really were. It was opening night, too. And Alan's like, oh, you know, it's the first night. You know, there's kinks to work out. I didn't notice any kinks. They were just having fun. Like, they were... that's the way I can describe it. And they were ready to get you.
Yep.
And they got me. Good. You know, when you watch that, when you see that video, it will be like, Max's stupid commentary as he's going through.
Well,
just messing with me the whole time.
Me and Donnie are planning on going through on Hell Night. So on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So
you'll have to tell me how it goes.
I was at Hell Night last year too, but I wasn't acting at that point. I acted during the regular haunt, mm-hmm. And then I kind of meandered around during Hell Night. But it's fun. I've been through it. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Bit risque, but you know, we're all adults, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So, Donnie. Mm-hmm. You have to ask your question.
Oh, yeah. Hit him with the question. All right. Well, first off, appreciate you, you know, giving us the updates on everything you've seen out there. Like I said, what you're doing is excellent work and valuable information for any haunt enthusiast out there.
Absolutely.
I have this question now that we play a game with and I ask everybody. So this can be, I can ask this to either you, to Max, or I can ask Pumpkin Smasher, whichever one. But you are the main character in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
My go-to kill. Okay. You're going to have to, yeah, that's a question for Smasher because, not to put a serious tone on it. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to take a life. So, I mean, that should be more or less obvious, but I mean, it's, but for Pumpkin Smasher, if you like, you take them and you put their head on a cinder block. First, you have to knock them out, and then their head's on a cinder block, and then you take your hammer, and you just make it explode, make it flat.
Give him the old Gallagher, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. Make it a Gallagher effect. You know, the head turns into a watermelon.
There you go.
I mean, the Pumpkin Smasher is expecting pumpkin guts and seeds to fly out, but instead it's brains and blood. And he's caught off guard sometimes with it. But you know, some people have a head that looks like a pumpkin. So
right.
he makes mistakes. You know, he's not perfect, but you know, he has a job to do, and he will carry the job out. And he has encountered people with pumpkin heads before. His nemesis Geister has one, so you know it's not unreasonable to see somebody and think that their head is a pumpkin. And as much as they argue with him, he may not agree. So you know, on the cinder block it goes, and boom.
There you go. Nice.
So Max, tell us, how can people find out about more about you, about the Ohio Haunters Association, your videos, all those great things you're doing out there?
So, was there something, Donnie? Oh,
yeah, I was going to say, before we get into that, I noticed the Bray Wyatt shirt you're wearing there.
Yeah!
Get into a little wrestling talk here. We did a little bit last time.
Okay, oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I had forgotten about that. I was going to mention that.
No worries.
So, Bray Wyatt fan?
Oh yeah, I've been a fan of his since he was in NXT. Okay. just the cult leader thing, and there's a few wrestlers who, when they start getting rolling into their like promos or dialogue, that you really like believe it. But when he would start preaching and everything, and it just like back. I mean, I'm talking about Bray Wyatt of a few years ago now, right, but
the Wyatt,
you know,
family
when,
and Sister yeah, Abigail but, and all that. Yeah,
right. All that you believed it. I believed it. Like he was trying to mess with John Cena and really get into his head and went after his legacy in the guy's mind. You know, when he had the children come out and singing the song and everything.
Right.
Oh, that guy. and more nowadays with his Fiend gimmick. It's, you know, he just feels more dangerous now than he did then. And I don't know what he's got going on with Alexa Bliss right now, but it's turning into something.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that he would actually be able to beat Braun Strowman, even though he's the one that introduced Braun Strowman into everything.
Right.
But beating him, you know, twice, I was like, all right. You know, because you know that, well, they pegged Braun Strowman to be like unbeatable for a while. You know, this right. The straight monster.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I love the way he moves. Just, you know, a guy that's pretty thick and everything. The way that he runs around the ring, you know, flying off the ropes and you know, just using his whole body to run into people. Mm-hmm. If I ever got into wrestling, as far as doing it, I feel like his style would be what I would, you know, would do.
So no backflips off the top rope for you.
No belly flops off the top ropes. No. Oh no, that would scare me to death.
Something I wanted to ask is, cause you're real big into character development and all that kind of stuff. Do you ever notice anything on wrestling and just like how you mentioned Ronald with his hammer, and is there anything you ever seen in wrestling that you've picked up and said, I need to modify that and make that a part of Smasher's routine? Or
I did actually. When I told you, I feel like it was during the show. I don't think it was beforehand, but when the initiation type thing, because several people will come up to Pumpkin Smasher and they will say, "How do I become a Pumpkin Smasher?" And then so this Bray Wyatt family type of initiation with like what he did with Daniel Bryan for a little bit. I kind of had them do, make like swear. I'm not like performing the Sister Abigail hit on them, but I will threaten to hit them in the face with a hammer. But trying to like, follow the path of the Pumpkin Smasher, like when you have a character named Pumpkin Smasher, how does that character come to be? And more or less, it comes from some kind of trauma, but now all he exists for is to destroy pumpkins, which sounds really niche and, there's not much you can expand upon it. But if you create kind of a cult following, it actually works out pretty well. And and it's kind of backfiring slightly, a little bit, because people are coming back and saying, "Remember when you initiated me last week?" Like, no.
Yeah, not at all.
Like, I'm serious. I don't remember you, but I mean, I encountered a lot. It's like we had 2,000 people one night, and I'm sorry if I don't remember you. I initiated a few people, but I play it off, and I'm like, "Well, did you practice? What have you practiced? Tell me, what progress have you made?" And that's what used to happen, and this is what I'm having to do this year because I'm used to I used to take people's cell phones, and I would create a Snapchat video, be like, "Pumpkin Smasher at the Dent Schoolhouse, I dare you to come and face me," and people will come up to me the year after and say, "You were on this person's story, and remember when you made that video on my phone last year?" Well, this year I can't take their phones, so I've had to do something else, which is kind of been the Pumpkin Smasher initiates, which is something I've kind of been doing because I don't have to touch them to do it, and I don't have to create another video on their phone this year. Now some of them have recorded me, they've made the video, and I've just done my thing differently. But it's something I've had to adapt to for this COVID era where I just can't take people's phones anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're cutting a wrestling promo on them.
Yeah, a bit. The main difference is that Pumpkin Smasher won't necessarily change as far as like baby face or heel. He kind of has to exist in both realms of like he's a jerk to you, but you like him.
That's fun.
Which I kind of want the DX effect. I think they were supposed to be bad guys, but I think but people just love them. So
That the NWO,
yeah.
yeah.
That's what I want for him, and that's why I'm trying. And when I feel like it's going pretty well, when people are coming back and be like, "Remember this? Remember this?" Like, I need to stop doing things apparently that's causing them to come back and bring it up because I don't remember exactly what I did each time.
Well, you just pretend like you do, and you keep going.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah,
I
like
did
if they
it plenty
say,
of times.
yeah, well, if they come up and they say, "Remember the video that you took on my phone?" Like, bring it up or it didn't happen.
There
I
you
forced them to prove it because otherwise, I don't know.
go.
I had plenty of that when I was working the queue over there, so I get it.
That's it's very fun though to create a well I'm not creating the character but bringing the character to life and hopefully it's something that the owners want to keep around. I mean this year they released a pin, of
I
Pumpkin
saw
Smasher's
that.
hammer that says Smash, and it was a very it was a moment full of pride for me because
Sure.
I feel like they wouldn't have unless the character has been impactful.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm convincing myself in my head. So
Nice.
I'm just, it's a little bit of merch. I'm so happy with it.
Yep.
Oh, Bud's not a stupid man. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
And he wouldn't make something like that if Pumpkin Smasher wasn't a big hit. So,
I'm gonna believe that. So,
take that and run with it.
I'm taking it and running with it. I have an ego problem. I do. So it's
Now, Bud's got a good head on his shoulders, and him and Chuck and Josh have really created something that's stood the test of time. And I never regret the time I spent there, man. It was great.
It's more than a pleasure to work there now. And I don't know what's going to come in the next few years, but I love being a part of it. For sure.
If I make my way out the dent and you see me out there, I'm expecting a pumpkin smasher leg drop on a pumpkin somewhere.
Well, you better wear some orange in honor of Pumpkin Smasher so that you may be worthy of such a show. Because if you wear orange, you're clearly Pumpkin Smasher's biggest fan.
There you go. I have an orange shirt, so that's what we're going to have to do then.
What you're going to have to do. Otherwise, it's an insult.
I just think it's ironic that you're also a redhead, so...
Well, anytime he comes across somebody with red head, he convinces himself that it's orange. And so he's like, oh, you clearly dyed your hair in honor of me. And they're looking at like, what? I'm like, clearly. And they're like, yes, yes, we did. I'm like, God.
Nice.
I think the character really pulls from my ego side. Like I shouldn't, but I love some notoriety. Like, or I mean, I love getting acknowledged to a degree. Sure. But
Everybody does.
He is that times 10.
Okay.
You know, like if you're wearing the pin, oh, he's just going to lose his mind. Or if you're wearing there's a shirt that has Pumpkin Smasher, Charlie, Geister, and Zobo. And he's at the top of it. And clearly he must be at the top of it. He's not the top, but like he just by position, he's on the top of the four.
Right.
But you know, to him, it's like, if you see it, it's clearly because you recognize his greatness.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a year to remember. I don't know what all will still come. The haunts are adjusting. Dent has already adjusted from one weekend to the next. And this last weekend ran so smooth. I would thought it was fantastic. So, you know, hopefully the rest of the season can be like that.
Excellent. Donnie, anything else for Maximus?
I think we've kept him around long enough. We don't want to take up his whole night. So we got some great information about how things are going out there in the Midwest region of haunted houses. And so, yeah, I think I'm good.
So I will try this again. Social media for yourself, for the Ohio Honors Association, the Dent Schoolhouse, any of the things you do, now is the time.
If you just want to send me a friend request on Facebook, I'll more than likely accept it if I can tell that you're a haunter, or that if we have a bunch of mutual friends, but you know, shoot me a message. Maximus Christian Bryan, I'm on Facebook. Ohio Haunters Association is a Facebook group, just throw in a request. And that's where I post a lot of the videos I either make or also haunters in Ohio are updating, showing stuff about their yard displays, things they've created. People are asking questions and advice always. So, you know, be part of the conversation. Dent Schoolhouse, you can find them on Facebook. Also, buy the tickets at frightsite.com. And also give a like to the Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention. We don't know exactly what 2021 is going to look like, but like the page so that you can be up to date on what's happening. And those videos that I made, there's four of them. There's Cincinnati and Southern Ohio, Dayton to Toledo, the Columbus and Eastern Ohio, and the Cleveland area. Those videos are they're somewhere in the thread of the Ohio Haunters Association page, but an easier way to find them is to go to YouTube, find the Ohio Haunters Association YouTube channel, and those videos are there. And you can check them out. And they're much higher quality on YouTube than they are on Facebook. So I encourage you to check them out there. They list the haunts that are open in Ohio, ticket prices, opening dates, any information you should need. And I encourage you to check out those haunts, Facebook pages, and websites. Excuse me.
Absolutely. Well said, Max. I mean, It's been a weird year, but haunts are still running. So if you have the opportunity to go out, stay safe, enjoy the haunts. Don't be an ass. Wear your mask. It's a small price to pay to be entertained, really. It is.
And they're trying hard to entertain you. They really are.
Right. And these people that are working, they're putting themselves out there to make you happy, to keep you entertained because you've been cooped up for so long. So show them some love. Be respectful, but enjoy yourselves.
Yep.
With that being said, I am Meat Hook Jim, along with my co-host, Donnie Hoover, and I'm pointing the right way. I don't know if it shows on his screen, but to me, it does.
It shows right.
And our special guest, Maximus Christian Bryant, pumpkin smasher at the Denton Schoolhouse. It has been a great night, and we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.